This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Nothing tears at the heart or unsettles a parent's confidence like a sick child. Caring for a child with a bad cold or the flu can be hard. But when hospitalization is involved, family stress and concern reaches new levels. Each year, Greater Cincinnati, hundreds of babies and children require additional medical attention provided by hospital pediatric and neonatal intensive care units. Worrying about paying for expensive, life-saving procedures only compounds the stress, especially for parents who have to take time off from their jobs to be at the hospital. Locally, Vivian's Victory helps families facing the difficult choice between comforting their child and buying gas, paying the next month's rent, or utilities, or mortgage, or purchasing the practical items they need when the child is finally able to come home. We are joined today by Vivian Victory founder and executive director, Maria Dunlap, and neonatal nurse Stephanie Sedam from Good Samaritan Hospital to discuss how Vivian's Victory assists families and children with poor prenatal diagnosis or with prolonged illnesses. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Maria and Stephanie.
Thank you.
And let's begin by just talking about how this got started. And Maria, you're the founder. This is very personal.
It is very personal. My first child is Vivian. I found out I was pregnant in 2011. And at our 20-week ultrasound in March of 2012, we actually found out that she had a heart defect. And although my husband and I saw this heart defect, it was devastating as, you know, being first-time parents and, you know, all the excitement and joy that you have in thinking of having a child, we were able to learn that her diagnosis, hypoplastic left heart syndrome, wasn't a death sentence. We saw it more merely as an obstacle that was going to define more of her character. And so the remainder of our pregnancy, we learned so much about what this meant, what this was going to look like, knowing that Cincinnati Children's Hospital was the best place for us to be, that there was a three-part surgery that we could go through. And when she was born, we actually found out that she had a chromosomal defect called Turner syndrome. And so she had so many complications inside of her, and she fought as hard as she could for 59 days at the CICU at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. But ultimately, her little body just couldn't function the way it needed to. And so on September 21st of 2012, she died. And when my husband and I left the hospital after being there for 59 days of having the support of friends, family, and even strangers, people bringing us dinner every night, people that would stay with her if we left for whatever reason, we were able to see the real devastation that having a child with a medical diagnosis, what that really is, that there are babies that would cry all day long by themselves because their mom was a single parent and she had other kids at home and she was working a minimum wage job and she already was in the red and she couldn't take additional time to be with her child. That parents would learn the news that their child was going to be discharged and they would be frantic about how they were going to pay for the gas to come to and from the hospital for follow-up appointments, how they were going to afford the prescriptions that were necessary to keep their child alive. And parents that weren't even there when their child died because their FMLA was up, they had other kids at home, that their child would de-escalate so quickly and they couldn't get to the hospital. And after seeing these things, leaving the hospital physically without our child, we left with this new understanding of what life in the hospital meant for so many people and left really with a mission that, you know, we have to do something to help these people, that it's not just these families we saw. It's really an epidemic throughout the hospital of families that experience, you know, life continues outside of the hospital. And how are you going to bridge that gap in between continuing to keep your life afloat and caring, loving, supporting your child in the hospital? Time doesn't stop.
We'll get to the specifics of Vivian's Victories, but how long did it take you to set up the not-for-profit?
You know, it's really funny. We actually didn't want to. And so we took some time to talk with the social workers, talk to other organizations, and we realized that we couldn't find anyone that was addressing the practical needs families had, that there were people that were addressing the medical needs, that there are people that were addressing you know, more of the experience that the families have. But there was no one that was saying, hey, you're going to lose your house. Let us come in and pay your rent. Or, you know, your utilities are shut off. Let's go ahead and take that so that you're able to go home with your child. And so in 2014, we received our 501c3 status. And, you know, it took us about a year and a half to get to that point where we were able to do that. But, you know, we sure glad that we did.
Stephanie, you're a neonatal nurse, so you see a lot of this.
Yes.
But my understanding is this is also very personal for you, right?
It is. I was an adult nurse when I first met Maria, and I had twins at 26 weeks. And my one twin, my little girl named Aria, she was also born with what they believed was Turner's, and she didn't make it. And then my son Lincoln, who was in the NICU, he remained there for 108 days. I was already on bed rest prior to everything. And then after the delivery, I still obviously wasn't able to work because I had just had babies. And Vivian's Victory, I applied with the, I can't even remember how it happened. One of the people at the hospital had mentioned Vivian's Victory to me, and they actually helped us with our bills that I was unable to pay because I was not working. Hmm. And they paid for my mortgage for 2 months.
So you became a beneficiary of Vivian's
Correct.
Victories.
Yes.
And then did you switch specialties inside the hospital?
I did. Lincoln came home in May of 2015, and then I became a neonatal nurse in September of 2015. And then I switched actually to Good Samaritan Hospital, where I work now, in January of
2016. Which has a major neonatal facility.
Yes, is a very large facility.
And as a nurse, what Maria just described, not just her personal experience, but what she was observing around the NICU where her child was, of parents who couldn't be there or were distracted or whatever. Mm. Is that just an everyday reality?
It is. You see a lot of parents that we've had scenarios where parents were unable to take their children home without certain medical care at home, and they didn't have the ability to be there 24/7 with the specific medical care they needed. And they needed to find staffing. They needed babysitting with flu restrictions going on in the NICUs. You can't, even on all the hospitals, you can't bring children under certain ages. So if you're a single mother and you only have your five-year-old son, if you don't have somebody to babysit him, you can't come see your baby.
And that costs money.
And that costs money.
Yeah. And so, Maria, what does Vivian's Victories, what do you try to concretely respond to? And what is beyond the scope of what you try to do?
So we really reach out to families and try to fill the gap for their practical needs. And what that is to us, gas cards, rent, utilities. We've been able to donate cars to families so that they have the transportation to continue that care for their child. We've assisted families with strollers, with cribs, with childcare. Honestly, we see such a need. And so we have an application that families are directed to from their social worker in the hospital. And on the application, the families are able to say exactly what they need, exactly the amount of money. If it's a bill, they're able to attach the documents because we don't give money to parents. We'll pay whoever that third party is. And I tell people all the time, just tell me what your needs are, because the last thing that you need to be thinking about is how you're going to be discharged, how you're going to afford the $700 stroller that you need for your child who's trach and vent dependent to be able to transport them around.
Lots of special equipment.
Exactly. I mean, that's not something that you need to be worrying about how you're going to make that happen. You just need to have it so you're able to take your kid home. And so for us, that's really important, is that we're able to help families with this. We focus more, as I said, on those practical needs, because there are other organizations that focus maybe more on the medical needs or on that experience in the hospital. We really work on addressing those practical needs. And we see each family as an individual family. We don't believe in cookie cutter families. And I think everyone can attest to the fact that no two families are exactly alike and no two situations are exactly alike. So it'd be very unfair to our families to say there's a one size fits all model that we follow. So we do rely heavily on the social workers to help us. They are our eyes and ears in the hospital, the nurses, but we do assess each family individually and see how we're best able to assist them.
Stephanie, what's it like as a nurse in a neonatal unit? And maybe you only have really, really young children there. I don't know. But what if a child's old enough to, you know, be interacting with people, you know, as a year old or something, and the parent can't be around? What's that like?
So in the NICU that I work at, we don't typically have babies much older than over their due date, but they could still be like 3 or 4 months old. But we don't typically have them much longer than that. But around 3 or 4 months, we will also interact with playtime on a mat to kind of help with developmental needs. Mm-hmm. With that, a lot of times we do it during the day because that's when our therapy specialists are there. And a lot of times parents are not able to participate with that because they're not off work or they might have other needs to be able to get there for that. So a lot of times their interaction towards the end of when a baby is like 3 or 4 months old, a lot of the interaction is between feeds and changing diapers and that stuff. And then they end up leaving because they have other commitments that they have to take care of, especially if they're born extremely premature. So it's not uncommon for our moms to go back to work from their maternity leave before their baby even comes home. So not only are they back to work, they might have other children at home they're caring for. Some of them are in school. There's many factors that kind of play in with that.
Maria, a lot of what parents are going through is emotional adjustment and dealing with the news, dealing with the new reality in their lives. You're talking about very practical things, trying to help them with very practical things. Are there other services that Vivian's Victories offers and support groups or putting parents in contact with each other? I'm not sure exactly what, but to try to help with the emotional framework that needs to be built.
Absolutely. It's an incredible emotional roller coaster, one that you hope no one ever has to get on. But unfortunately, there's over 2,800 families that ride this roller coaster just in our tri-state in Miami Valley area each year that are already Medicaid dependent. So it's a whole nother level of emotional stress. And I always tell people it's not even the hardest part about having a child that is either in the NICU or a child that is diagnosed with some disease when they're 3, 4, 5 years old, is there's a death of a dream that happens as being a parent and being a parent of a healthy child and being a parent and what that child's life is going to look like in that interaction. And so we do offer emotional support for families. We have multiple individuals who are willing to speak with people on a regular basis that have either gone through a similar experience or that are listeners in real life. And so that's definitely something that we offer to families, and we let them know that that is available. I think one of the greatest joys, if you can even use that word in this context, but for me as being the founder, is when families call you, and we don't hear back from every family, you know, we don't give to receive, but on those moments where we do hear back from the families that we assist and they call you and they say, I never felt supported until we met you. You have no idea how you've changed our life, that our outcome with our child is different because of you. Those are all things that are pretty impactful and they hold a lot of weight, and it makes me realize every day that there is so many families.
Well, you're interacting with people who are literally on a thread.
Oh, absolutely.
And trying to.
And they're barely hanging on. And this this hope that we're able to give them, this hand up, this hope, is their lifeline to get to the next step.
Stephanie, as a nurse interacting with a lot of parents like this, there's social workers in the hospital. Are you the conduit frequently for people if you can observe, if you observe somebody who's having the sorts of challenges that maybe Vivian's Victory can help with, maybe not solve, but help with, is that how you Do you shuffle people that way?
So I work night shift. So unfortunately, I don't see a lot of the social workers unless they come in. But we do have communications with them. We do have phone calls we can make, emails we can make. We also have a parent coordinator who kind of works various hours. She doesn't usually work through the middle of the night, but she does work during working hours and sometimes later into the evening. And a lot of times we'll give her a message, email her, call her, and give her a heads up, because actually she is the specific person that got me in contact with Maria. And so she definitely knows the process and everything. And we can leave her a note on her desk just saying, hey, call me, or an email or any of the sort. And she gets back to us very quickly, and we are able to pass that information along.
Maria, very practical question. Where do you raise the money to make this happen? This is a local organization, right?
Yes, it is.
This is a one-off?
Yes. So,
where do you raise the money, and how much money a year do you need to fulfill the sorts of flow of requests that you get?
That's a very good question. Each year we have three signature events. We have a ball in the spring. We have a 5K in July. It's actually coming up July 14th. It'll be at Lunkin Airport. It's Vivian's Victory Family Fun Fest in 5K. We're very excited for this year. And we have a match day in the fall, right around Vivian's death date, September 21st, where a donor will give us, you know, a dollar-for-dollar match. We also have corporate sponsorships. We have private donors. We've received a few small grants. We're hoping this year to apply for more grants and kind of grow that. You know, that's pretty much where our money is coming from.
How much money have you been able to give away in a year?
That varies from year to year. And, you know, for us, you know, you asked the question is how much money would it take to do all of this? You know, I wish I had a money tree in my backyard, because we'd be able to, you know, that's how everybody feels, is that there's
That's right.
always going to be a need, and the need continues to grow. In 2016, we assisted 2016 families. In
2016 families?
I'm sorry. In 2016, the year,
yeah.
we impacted 216 families.
Okay.
So it's a little confusing. A lot of the same numbers. In 2017, we impacted 427 families. So you can see that huge jump. We doubled in the amount of families that we were able to assist, and the amount of families that came to us. I mean, we have a very low turndown rate of families, but it does happen, unfortunately. But, you know, in this year, I'm really excited because, you know, we're going to hit the 1,000th family that we've impacted. And that's a pretty extraordinary thing to know that because of one life that was 59 days old, there's 1,000 families that have been change because of that. So it's a real honor.
Now, does Vivian's Victories operate just in the Southwest Ohio, Northern Kentucky region? Mm-hmm. Any farther out than that?
So we work predominantly with Good Samaritan Hospital and Cincinnati Children's Hospital. We okay. are able to assist families that have a child on a level 3 or level 4 NICU, and then any family with a child 0 to 18 seen in a pediatric specialty care unit. So that is Good Sam and pretty much all of Children's. So there's families that come from all over that are seen at Children's that are flown to Good Sam. So although we're assisting mainly in those two hospitals, we are assisting families from all over.
Well, we are almost out of time, but one of the things that just strikes me is there's a lot of energy in this room and a lot of smiles despite a lot of challenges. So congratulations on what you're doing. Keep it up. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.